up? Welcome to another episode of the Dealer Talk Podcast. This is your host, Herb Anderson. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today, we have an awesome guest, Mr. Sean Armour. Is it Armour or Armour?
Yeah, it's Armour.
Armour, right on. And dude, super excited to have you on.
Thank you.
Dude's been in it for a minute. Lots of experience here, folks. So make sure to have some pen and paper ready to go. Sean, what's up, dude? How are you, man?
I am awesome. Just freezing my butt off up here, I would say, in Canada. Holiday season, so just gearing up for that. Lots of Christmas parties that have went by, so I'll do my best to hang in there.
Cool, man. Yeah, I do not miss the cold, man. One of the good things about living in Vegas. Although right now it's a little bit chilly, but there's no snow. So.
Well, it's not minus 15, is it?
No, you got me beat, man, for sure. So, dude, I'm super excited to have you on the show. This is going to be a great conversation. We'll see where things, what direction we go in. But kick us off with your experience, man. Let us know what you've been doing and what you've done in the past.
Absolutely. So, as I was mentioning earlier, got into the business by accident. I was graduated marketing background. And when I got out of university, I couldn't really find anything. I was like a catch 22, too much experience on one side or not enough on the other. So I had to pay the bills. So in 2003, my little brother got me a job washing cars at one of the larger groups. And the rest is history. I came up, I was washer, jockey, shuttle driver, advisor, service manager, sold some cars. And then I built my first BDC and then didn't look back. So celebrating 17 years in the industry, and the last 10 have been literally building BDCs for Canada's largest groups.
That's awesome, dude. Mm-hmm. I definitely want to talk a little bit more about that. I had mentioned to you that this season I wanted to talk more about BDC because it's one of those topics that we really haven't covered on the show. So excited to pick your brain. But before we do that, let's kind of talk about the trajectory, right? Because you got there's a lot of stuff there, right? I mean, from, started from the bottom, now we're here, sort of a deal, right?
So, yeah, that's right. Yep.
Yeah. So, dude, what's your favorite position so far?
I would have to say a BDC. Being a BDC director, and we can touch up on like the different levels of a BDC, like however you want to do it, from like agents to team leaders to a BDC manager to a BDC director. It's really, really different. I've been all. But my favorite position right now, I would have to say, is what I'm doing right now. I mean, being a BDC director is amazing. Humbly speaking, of course, but I think it's the only position under the rooftop that you literally need to understand. All the business units within the dealership, new car, used car, marketing department, service, social media, CSI, it all comes under one umbrella. So it's quite interesting because the BDC is actually where it should be, or hopefully where we're going. It's literally the hub of the organization. Everything comes into it, right?
Yeah, for sure. How do I say this? So I want to say it was either Sean Welsh or Sean Kelly. Mm-hmm. I heard them talk about, I'm pretty sure it was Sean Welsh, talk about how that should, the BDC should be kind of like the entry point, right?
For, absolutely.
As you go into the dealership, you should kind of pay your dues there, maybe spend a year or so there, learn the product, learn the brand, learn to actually take action, right? Call people and set appointments and that whole deal, learn this, mm-hmm. the systems. Do you think that that's true, man? Do you think that that makes up for a better salesperson? I mean, you've done both, right? So,
yeah.
And I don't know if you went to a BDC and then became a salesperson or if you were just in sales, but if it was just what, like the typical where you're just thrown out there to do your thing, do you think that you would have done better if you would have started in the BDC or if that would have been the first kind of introduction to the business?
Yeah. Well, listen, I have mad respect for both Sean's. I have spoken to them both. So a lot of respect there. But I just want to first, again, everything I'm going to tell you is subjective, of course. It's my own opinion. But
right.
What has brought me tremendous success right now on the phone, whether it's service or whether it's sales, is understanding the customer at the end of the day. Now, what you really need to do as an agent, regardless if you're in sales or if you're in service, is you have to understand both ends. You have to understand, you know, basically what the customer wants and guide them on their journey. But you also have to find a way to transition that into the needs of the organization. Because whether people like it or not, this is exactly why we set appointments, right? It's not just anybody come in. So when you're setting an appointment, it's very important that you understand how the organization works. Why are we setting an appointment? Why does, I don't know, let's talk about sales for a sec. Why does an appointment take an hour? What are the processes? What are the steps? So what has helped me become highly effective on the phone is having actually done the position. They say that 7% of communication is oratory. Mm-hmm. You know, judging by the books that I read and stuff. So when I'm on the phone and I'm speaking to somebody, you have to find a way to, manifest the dealership experience in a vocal way to the customer. And the only way that I have managed to do that is having actually done the position. So hypothetically on sales, I'm more inclined to be able to walk the customer through the steps of what's going to happen when they show up to the dealer. And from, if you want to talk about service, when I'm on the phone and they're like, yeah, okay, I'm going to come in and do my service A, you know, we'll do a, I don't know, brake cleaning, and let's just throw in a wash, you know, and when you say, okay, well, that's going to be about 3-4 hours, whatever the case may be. And then people just think, you know, they're always the only person to walk into a dealership, you know? So when you have to be able to explain those 4 hours. And having been a washer, I can explain to them that, you know, I can explain to them the check-in process. Having been an advisor, I can explain to them the entire process. So it helps when you start on the outside and then you come in. Because what happens is when you're in, you're on the phone 98% of the time, right? So whereas a salesperson, you know, they can have their hands, they can show you around, they can show you pamphlets, service. Well, the service advisor can walk you through the recommended maintenance schedule, etc. But when you're on the phone, you don't have any of these, right? So I think being on the outside and then coming in, your rate of success will just be that much more. It is possible, like Sean said it would be, but I think that when you're on the outside and then you come in, it's a lot easier.
Yeah. Dude, so you said something right now that's, to me, is super powerful, dude. You said, and, you know, obviously, you know, I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, but, it's okay.
You know, what I took from it was, you have to be able to basically convey to the customer over the phone, mm-hmm. right? With that 7% communication, bar, if you will, or measure, what that experience is going to be like. Dude, that's super powerful, man. How do you guys do that, man? And how do you do it effectively?
Well, first things first, what I've learned, because again, like I said, I've been doing BDC since before those three letters were an acronym. You know, what we had pen and paper, Excel sheets, and a DMS. CRMs weren't even invented. So it's kind of like, hey, let's just figure this out, right? So the first thing that I was taught, I've taken a lot of communication courses, and it's super important. And the one thing, aside from other things that I learned in communication, is very simple. You have two ears and one mouth. So listen twice as much as you speak, right? So the customer is basically telling you everything. The only thing you have to do is receive the information and then just put it, and just structure it around whatever the dealership can offer. So is it if we're talking about service, is it appointments every 15 minutes? If you're talking about sales, is it one sale appointment every hour? So it's really about getting the information from the customer and then manipulating it in such a way that it works out for the dealership processes as well, and just marrying them both as close as possible. So it's almost like a negotiation, mm-hmm. right? I was also taught in negotiation, it has to be a win-win situation for both sides, right? So one of the reasons why a dealership will have a bad CSI or customer service is somebody will call in and we're always trying to funnel people into what we want them to do, right? And I think that's why that the dealerships got a bad rap over the years over on the sales side, because it's like, listen, you just come in and I'll tell you how it works. But people don't want that anymore. And the people have spoken, which is why Amazon exists today.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to get up. I don't want to go to the store, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally, I agree with that thought 100% for sure, man. So I kind of want to develop this a little bit and, you know, forgive my ignorance, man, because when I was in it, right, when I was a service manager, was the highest level that I got to. But when I was in it, I left the dealership world back in early 2000s, and we didn't have BDCs, man. That concept wasn't a thing. Like, I used to give my decline services ROs to my ASMs, and I'd be like, guys, it's slow. You guys better start, like, dialing, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the how I was brought up. But, dude, now I see it. Please forgive me, man. I'm not trying to be rude, but
No. Hit me. Go ahead.
It seems like the BDC sucked the hunt out of the salespeople for whatever reason. I don't know why. Like, I just don't see them. I see them more now as order takers. They're just kind of waiting for the BDC to do everything for them, set them up with that customer. And I just don't see the action. Maybe it's happening and it's just not something that we're privy to, but I don't see a lot of people like, you know, like back in those days, the salespeople would take stack of cards and they would leave the dealership and they'd go prospect around the dealership and give their cards, and, you know, and they were, they pay for their own like radio spots. They would do their own TV commercials. I mean, they were hustling their thing, you know? Mm. And I just don't see that stuff anymore. Do you think that that's because of the BDC or maybe the expectation is, oh, I don't have to do that. I'm just going to wait for them to kind of set me up with the appointment sort of a deal.
That is probably the best question you could possibly ask, because that's a question that everybody has. All right, so I'll answer it, but it's not so black and white. So, okay.
Yeah.
So let's just establish, and this is, I don't care what anybody says, all the experts out there, all the BDC gurus out there seems to be a ton of them. So let's just establish something. The core purpose of a BDC is to provide a continuous flow to the sales and service traffic at the dealership. That is the core purpose of a BDC. So it's not necessarily there to take away, and it's not necessarily there to sell cars. Let's not forget who made the BDC. Why is a BDC even invented? Over on the sales side, the BDC was invented because the salesmen were not doing their follow-ups.
Mm-hmm.
You can walk around the dealership and give, and again, and this, I'm not patronizing anybody. I'm not taking anything away from salespeople, but you could walk around and give all the business cards that you want. When these people are calling in, it's low-hanging fruit. Salesmen love low-hanging fruit. You know, that you'll walk in, okay, we call them tire kickers, unfortunately. It's a terrible, terrible name for a customer. Terrible name for a customer. But if the customer is not willing to buy right now on the spot to the salesperson, they're no good. So I think that's why a BDC was created over on the sales side, right? So it creates traffic. It allows for a consistent customer interaction. Most importantly, it improves customer communication, or it should. And then drive customer retention. So when, for me personally, where I am now, my cadence on a fresh lead over on the sales side is about 6 months. So I have developed a cadence over 6 months because people are not ready to pull a switch right away. Whereas we're so used to low-hanging fruit. So I don't think necessarily that the BDC was created to take anything away. I think it was actually quite the opposite. It was
enhanced
the experience. Exactly.
Yeah
for sure.
Yeah, man, it's just you know, it's crazy because I don't know, man, like, maybe, you know, it's easy for people, you know, what's that saying, like, it's hard to see the picture when you're inside the frame. It's a lot easier for people to be on the outside and be like, oh, I would do things differently, and, you know, and then when you're doing the role, you're sitting there waiting for ups just like everybody else, right?
Correct. I don't know. I mean, yeah.
But it just seems like it, dude, that's a hell of an advantage, man. And I can't really think of an industry that has, I'm sure there's stuff there's out there, you know, but I don't know a lot of industries that have that, that kind of a system where you have actually people that are setting up your appointments and just kind of teeing everything up for you. You know what I mean? For success.
Yeah.
So,
well, you said it, if I could just expand on that point, I think in a certain sense, you are right. I think that there was really two, well, I don't know about where you guys are, but up here in Canada, I think there's two industries that haven't really evolved over the decades, I should say. One being the banking industry. It's always been the same. You walk in, there's a teller, et cetera, et cetera. And number two, car dealerships. What was the last real evolution in a car dealership from its precipice when it all started?
Yeah.
Right? It was digital marketing that started, what, maybe, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe 3 to 5 years ago?
Pretty much.
Like it really got going. But prior to that, you walked in, there was a guy in a box suit. You know that there's going to be haggling. There's going to be a back and forth. Is he giving me his best price, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that the BDC was born out of necessity. And most importantly, I think that being the last ones to the party, so to speak, like to just add to what you were saying, was actually an advantage. Because now we've seen what works and what doesn't work.
And, dude, I love that. Yeah.
Well, it's true because, I mean, yeah. If you're thinking about it, everybody right now, they all have like digital marketing, all this stuff. But we were so slow to evolve that we were able to benefit from the other industry's mistakes. And I think that's where we are. I mean, let's look at 2019 for us. What did we see this year from January to now? What did we see this year? We saw basically a decline of the suit. That speaks volumes. Like look at all the salesmen right now. There's no more real suits, you know. Mm-hmm. Everybody's kind of like, it's more casual now, you know, because that's what people want. You don't trust somebody in a suit, as they used to say, right?
I don't know. I don't think I agree with what you're saying, but I fundamentally disagree with that whole movement, and I refuse. Like, if I'm in the dealership, I'm in a suit, and and that's the way it's gonna be for 100%. Life.
Yep. For sure. And I totally agree with you, but it's just the negative connotation that's associated with the guy in the suit, unfortunately, right? We saw a decline of the suit this year. What else did we see? We saw the dealer literally got deconstructed this year. I mean, if you really think about it, I mean, artificial intelligence is absolutely blowing up right now. The number of vendors that call me every week pitching me and giving me demos with all the
I need to interject here, but let me turn on the light, dude, because it's super dark in here. So give me a second.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, dude, let's talk about this for a minute, because this is one of the things that I see it and I hear it, but my brain just doesn't want to either accept it or comprehend it for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that we're going to talk about this, because I just posted two excerpts from an episode that I did with, you know, Sean Walsh. Hey, Sean Walsh, shout out, man. I'm just saying your name here.
A lot of Seans today.
I know, right? But they were both about AI, man. And when I was cutting them and doing the edit for them. I really started thinking about AI, and I just don't think that I 100% believe that in our industry we're there yet. I mean, the concept in theory, I think it's cool and it could be something, but I, you know, for what the vendors are claiming to be and to do with AI, I just don't feel like we're there. Are you seeing that, or are you seeing something different? You know, I know that, for example, there's this company, Conversica. I'm sure you've heard about them, but they have some bold claims. I do have clients that use them that absolutely love them. They refuse to tell anybody about this AI or whatever they call it. They oftentimes I hear them refer to it as their secret weapon, which to me is like, whoa. But what are your thoughts on that whole thing, man? Like, are you seeing?
Yeah. So, great question. I totally agree with you. 100%. We're totally not ready for artificial intelligence right now. I think it's going way, way too fast. We need to just slow down. Mm-hmm. First of all, what I would do, or what I would recommend to anybody out there, we've established that BDC is the future. Or is the now, if you will. If you don't have a BDC, or If you're not outsourcing a BDC, you're missing out on a lot of revenue. That's number one to me anyway. I might be slightly biased, but I've actually made a career out of it, whereas dealers from my services had literally produced millions of dollars. So it
Is there a case where a BDC is not needed, in your opinion? Like, let's say it's a tiny dealership and it's not in a metro area. You know what I mean? They have maybe 70% of their market captured. Still, you think the BDC would help them move the needle, or do you think in some cases?
Absolutely, because we need to establish also, and this is a very important point that you're making. A BDC to me is a complete solution. I'll explain. I'll explain because the nuances right now are super important. And I'm looking to, with the Seans of the world, the Welshies, the Seans, what I'm looking to do in 2020 is to really reinvent the BDC. So a BDC to me incorporates service. So you have service campaigns, service touch points. You'll have sales. So your internet lead department or your internet department. It'll have marketing and it'll have the customer service. Now, when you're talking about a smaller dealership, it really, who said it? I think it was Joe Verdi, that VPA was something like Vision Plan Action. He had something like that. So I think what's really important is to, who wouldn't need a BDC? I mean, you're not from a service perspective. If you just sit there and wait for people to come, I mean, do they know what the maintenance menu is? Absolutely not. Do they know what's due? Absolutely not. I mean, what every, I think it's Toyota, because I came up through Toyota. Toyota was every 6 months or 8,000 kilometers or something like that. So, I mean, let me ask you a question. When's your next dentist appointment?
Oh, dude, I don't really know, man.
And you don't have to know why, because
they're gonna call and remind me, and they send me a postcard and the whole deal.
There you go. So yeah. I look at it. A BDC is exactly like the dentist. You'd absolutely need to be reminded.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really think that's wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is, because if you really think about it, and I posted this not long ago, it's a car, man. It's a car. You came to buy a car from me. You're going to put your family into this thing. You're going to be in this thing every day going to and from work. You're also going to be surrounded by people in other cars. If it's not used properly, if it's not maintained properly, I'm sorry to say it this way, it's a death machine. If someone's not there to explain to you the importance of doing a brake service, which is a clean lube and adjust, it doesn't mean, sir, that you have to change the entire braking system. But if you're not doing this and your calipers seize, I'm sorry, but you're going right through the car in front of you. God forbid there's a three-year-old in a baby seat. You know, I have a kid. So these things are very important to me. So I don't necessarily look at when somebody's coming into the service as upselling. I look at it as them like, your car needs to be maintained in a secure fashion.
I want to say a thought to that, dude, because this, I used to harp on my guys on this, because it's not fair to the customer. It's not even about the ASM at that point. It's that you're robbing the customer from making the decision. And you just said it right now, you know, like sometimes, especially if the customer's spending money with you, like maybe they got a couple thousand dollars in service work or whatever, and then, you know, as it always happens, the technician comes up and they're like, "Hey, man, you know, I was doing this, but then, you know, I found this, and so now it's going to be, you know, $1,000 more." Well, we get afraid to call a customer and explain that to the customer because they're already $2,000 in, and we rob the customer from making that, and we maybe downplay the urgency of the repair, or we don't really convey it properly, or sometimes we don't even mention it. We just when they pick up the car, we give it to them as a recommendation or something to that effect, and we rob the customer from making the decision. And so whenever I have an opportunity to say this, I'm always going to interject and talk about the importance of tell the customer what the car needs. Don't downplay it like it's a recommended service. Like, tell the customer what it needs. Don't decide for the customer. Just make sure that you're conveying that information and let the customer decide.
Yeah, and I call that full transparency, right?
Yeah.
So it is so important. Totally agree with what you're saying. So the way I look at it, sales creates customers, service keeps them. Right. So you're going to spend thousands of marketing dollars to attract people and to have them buy a car. And then once they buy the car, the journey just begins. Hypothetically, you're going to lease a car in what, 4 or 5 years, 6 years in some cases. Mm-hmm. So it's about culture and it's about relationship building. It's not a transaction. It needs to be relationship building. Whereas I can almost say, hey, Herbert, how are you? It's Sean from XYZ company. So we did your servicing, and Herbert, listen, I fully recommend a brake service. We're not going to change the brakes. Everything's okay, but we need to clean, lube, and adjust. It's recommended every 30,000 kilometers, or I'm not sure what that is in miles, but
I don't know, man.
But it's about
don't put me on the spot, dude. I'll fail that test.
But honestly, it's about building a relationship. That's exactly what it is. People buy things from people they like, and also we have to place value on it.
Yeah,
not just, hey, listen, you're due for this. Okay, well, what the hell is that? You know, I think all too many times the problem of a dealership is that we work like 40, 50, 60 hours in a dealership, and we just expect everyone to understand our vernacular. Like, people, my mom doesn't know what a brake service is. You know, she hears the word brakes, she associates that to, oh my God, $800 to redo the entire thing. No, 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 it's okay. Leave them, leave them, leave them. You know, once you get that no, you're screwed. That's it.
It's over. Yeah.
No, yeah. I agree.
So let's kind of evolve this a little bit because I wanted to continue on this BDC conversation sort of thesis, but let's talk about how it applies in the service department. Cause I see that, I don't even want to say it's more advantageous, but maybe it is, dude. Like, I feel like the BDC for service is huge. And here's just one example that I can think of. Decline services, right? And that was my biggest thing. Like, I wish we would have had that service available back in those days where I actually had a team of people following up with these on a regular basis. And I know it's a lot more in depth than that, but you know, that's just my high level comment. But let's talk about how the BDC can benefit you in the service department. You know, because there's a lot of people out there in service that don't have a BDC. They're not even considering it. My last gig I was working for Toyota, on the Toyota Care side of things. And dude, a lot of the people that I met with, a lot of the decision makers, they didn't have BDCs in place. And I was like, that's crazy, man.
Yeah. And in today's age. So just to touch up on that, I might be biased because I came up through the service.
Which I
think right now, I've kind of created my own BDC models over the years, trial and error, trial and error, trial and error. I mean, I've been going at this for like 17 years, right? So I got to a point when I first became a BDC manager and we were just playing around with concepts, which campaigns, like, how do we start this? What do we call, right? So I'm actually putting modules together to present to dealerships. Okay, listen, this is how you need to start. First things first, it's a requirement. It's absolutely necessary because you have all the, you know, those quick oil change guys, the 10 minutes in and out. I mean, they're going to be taking
services.
Yeah, they're going to be taking all your business, right? So,
you're talking about independence.
Independence, man. Or absolutely. Those quick in and out guys. Like if you're not calling your customers, they're not thinking about me. They're just driving. The oil light goes on. They're like, oh my God, it's time for an oil change. And then they see, hey, in and out in 20 minutes. Well, of course I'll go there. Why am I going to make an appointment with the dealer, leave my car, miss work, get a shuttle service? The guy calls me later. He's going to upsell me like it's an entire journey. So the first thing that I would say is you need to create what I like to call the essential touch points. The essential touch points out of service for a BDC. Get your pen ready. The first one, I call them delivery calls. Now, delivery call is, Herbert just bought a car. Herbert leaves. He's all excited. So he understood absolutely nothing the day of the delivery of his vehicle. He just saw this big, nice, beautiful, shiny car, and he took off. It is absolutely essential that the BDC calls every single delivery person a week after.
Love that. Yeah.
Just to touch base, don't forget, biggest problem of a dealership is what? The DMS. Garbage in, garbage out.
Garbage out, yeah.
Correct. If I don't have all your phone numbers, all your emails, et cetera, if I can't communicate with you, I'm in the shitter. So number one, get into contact with all these people, and it's an opportunity for you to explain how things work. We're going to be calling you a week or 2 weeks prior to your first service, blah, blah, blah. So I call those delivery calls. The next one, the most important one, confirming the appointments that they book. You absolutely have to confirm the appointments that you book. Why? The service, essentially, at the end of the day, what are they really there for? We're there to sell hours. You're really there to sell hours. We're selling time is what we're in the business of.
Yeah,
we're in the business of selling time. So if I make an appointment with Herbert, and then let's just say, you know, my entire day is full, but I'm still getting calls coming in for appointments, and like five of those people don't show up, what do I have in the back? What we call lost time. You know, you're going to get a tech back there just twiddling his thumb. So let's recap it. Delivery calls, most important. Confirming all those. The next one's calling back the no-shows. Anybody that misses their appointment, you got to get on the phone, call them back, reschedule, and get them in the dealer. Yes. So that's one, two. So delivery calls, confirmation calls, no shows, and obviously your CSI calls, customer service calls. 24 hours after they're servicing the vehicle, you have to get on the phone, ask them how their service was. So to me, those are like the critical fours.
Right on, man.
So
how much do you think a dealer loses just on the service side? And I'm not talking about money, but just in contact and just in connections with customers by not having that system in place or just relying on their ASMs. Because here's what's crazy. Think about it. Most of the ASMs are doing, you know, at the average dealer, maybe 20 to 25 ROs a day. Mm-hmm. The better, the more efficient ones are probably less at 13 and 15, but,
correct.
You know, cause that allows you to have an actual relationship with the customers. Which is what you want. Right.
Yep. Yep.
But most of them are way above that. And then the expectation is not only do you have to do all that stuff, but then now you have to like follow up with your customers, mm-hmm. follow up with the appointment. It's not going to happen, man. You know what I mean? There's just some stuff that isn't going to happen. So in your opinion, how much do we lose, you know, by not having that kind of in the background doing all those things and assisting?
Great question. So I'm going to assume that it's primarily service people listening to this question. So let's talk in service terms. So I'm thinking about 0.6 to 0.8 per work order. So take your door rate and multiply that by 0.6.
Wow, dude.
Do the math. Crazy. Yeah, 0.6 to 0.8 for sure. I mean, if you're looking at an oil change is about what, maybe 30 minutes, 40 minutes, you're like a 0.3, 0.4. So this is just industry jargon, but I think they're losing 0.6 to 0.8 for every work order.
Absolutely. Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So at the end, like I said, if you're looking at your business, don't necessarily look at it as how many work orders you opened, or as you said before, how much money you're making. You got to look at it as missed opportunities on every work order.
Right. Yeah, absolutely, man. For sure.
Making money, and this is not me. This is Simon Sinek. Like, I swear by this guy, but...
Yeah, that dude knows his
making,
stuff.
Man. Making money is a result. That's all it is. Yeah. Making money is a result of effort, right? Putting processes and that effort in place, that's what's going to give you a step above. So yeah, about 0.6 to 0.8 per work order. And at the end of the month, I mean, I don't know, do the math. You take your door rate, you multiply that by 0.6, let's just say, multiplied by how many work orders, 15 to 20. Let's talk about, I don't know, anywhere from 50 to 80,000 bucks.
Wow, dude.
That's multiply nuts. That by a year is about what, that's 80. So let's just call it maybe, it goes up quick. So if you say maybe, yeah, definitely few hundred thousand a year.
Yeah, man, that's nuts.
And that's not to mention, that's not to mention your customers that are not happy that have gone elsewhere.
Yeah, of course. And the retention impacts and all those
things. You can't even quantify that.
Yeah, dude, of course. Yeah.
So let's just call it millions at that point.
dude, yeah, moral of the story, get a BDC, man. Like a BDC.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so we're real close on time, but there's several questions that we're gonna get to, man. Yeah, hang in there with me.
Yeah,
we got to talk about these two things for sure. So the next question I want to ask you, I want to make sure to pick your brain on is, and I'm gonna tell you in the form of a story, and then you know the question is in there somewhere, but let's kind of develop that. So I was working with a group recently. Obviously, I'm not gonna name any names, but they have multiple stores, right?
Yep.
And I was doing a review for all of their stores at once. It was a big project. And one of the things that I noticed is that they were very so here's the other thing, just to give you specifics. They were all next to each other on the same block, on the same auto mall. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But they were very independent. They really treated their neighbors as competitors, so they were really guarded with all their information. But I noticed that one store had a BDC, another didn't, and then the other one had sort of a BDC, but there wasn't anything really connecting them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And when you think about how they're right next to each other, people come at a specific store, but then you it's a huge opportunity because you can go get cars from anywhere, right? So your inventory really is massive at that point. Does it make sense in certain groups, depending on how they're structured and things like that? Do you think that it's advantageous for them to have a centralized BDC? Because that always seems to be a point of contention. Oh, no, well, I want it this way, and I don't want my customers to be communicated that way. When does that make sense? When does it not make sense?
It makes sense when that's the culture of the group. I mean, that's the only way I could say it. Right. There's we need to understand that. Listen, first things first. It's not necessarily that, you know, you have to, like you said, they don't all have to be centralized. One could be, it depends on the needs. It depends on the budget of the store. Right. You know, obviously if you have several smaller stores, it makes sense to be centralized. So actually, you know what? I just developed the answer as we're talking. I think the larger the store, the more it needs its own BDC.
Yeah.
So if you have, I don't know, like you're saying, I currently work right now in one of the largest, not one of, but the largest volume dealer in all of Canada. We're doing about, on a slow day, we're doing about 80 to 90 work orders a day.
Wow.
Yeah. So my BDC currently right now, I got 13 people up there.
And you do both service and sales at the same time?
I do, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, at this point in my career, I need all of it. Like, I need everything to come into one place. I've intricately woven my own kind of system, my own kind of processes that actually one depends on the other. It's actually pretty interesting. But again, if we go back down to like a dealer that doesn't have a BDC, I think smaller dealers could get away with maybe like one or two people. But as your dealership grows, the need for a centralized BDC becomes apparent for sure.
Yeah. Love that. That makes total sense. All right. Then the other thing I wanted to cover, and I don't know, man, we'll take it wherever it goes, but I wanted to talk about social media in the BDC department, right? Because I feel like, how do I say this? I think like there's an opportunity there to break the ice with consumers like never before, right? And maybe it's not just social media, but maybe just technology in general. Videos, video email, video text. Let's kind of go down that path to, you know, do you agree? Are you seeing something? Are you doing something in that capacity? How's it working, sort of a deal?
Okay. So currently right now for me, the way I'm set up is that I have multiple agents doing service. I have multiple agents doing the internet leads, and I have two agents actually doing social media. So it's super interesting that we're mentioning this. So with regards to social media, let's define social media. We have to be very careful that we do not call them marketing agents. We're not in marketing, right? And I wouldn't even want to pretend that I know anything about marketing. I mean, I know of marketing. I understand the terms. I know enough of it to participate in a conversation, but I'm not a marketing guru or a expert by any stretch. Now, when we're talking about social media, what is one of the most important things that any dealer group has to do? Google comments. And your star rating on Google is absolutely everything. So you can't take 2 or 3 or 4 or even 5 days to respond to a negative review. I have already, actually, funny story if you want one. So I was, I got, this lady got in touch with me, or a customer got in touch with me. This is maybe about 3 weeks ago, and I'll say this really quickly. So she actually got in touch with me through Google comments.
Oh, wow.
I personally answer absolutely every single one. If it's not me, it's my agent, because I'm constantly training people. But I love to get in there. I practice what I preach. I often, on a daily basis, I still book appointments. I'll still call internet leads. I still get on. Oh, absolutely. I love it. That's awesome. Absolutely. Absolutely. So she actually got on my phone. She was, whatever, unsatisfied with certain elements of her experience. And when I asked her, she basically said, legit, she said, "Hi, Sean, how are you? My name is so-and-so. I'm pretty sure I'm talking to the right person, because I got in contact with you through the information that you're leaving in your Google comments."
Oh, wow.
And she legit, real story, she legit said, "I know you're definitely the right person to speak to, because I'm reading your comments. I'm reading your replies to the reviews."
Wow.
Yeah, man, it's really cool.
So powerful.
Yeah, it's extremely powerful, and it's an absolute must. So you absolutely need an agent getting on the Google reviews. Same thing as Facebook. How many times have you seen, I don't know, let's say marketing puts out this awesome, you know, advertisement on Facebook, and you have a disgruntled customer.
Right.
And takes the opportunity to, unfortunately, troll that advertisement and says, "Oh, don't go there if unless you want to get robbed or something like that." I don't know.
I don't get that. Like, I'm sorry to interject here, man, but it's just, why are we afraid of that? Like, that's life. That's real life. We want to have those types of comments. 100%. The problem is when you don't answer them. Or you hide them, or you know what I mean? Or you block people from commenting. What are you hiding?
Yeah.
So somebody had a bad experience in your dealership. Boo hoo. It happens, dude. Like, you're not going to make everybody happy. So stop trying, but answer that so that the other people that see that can see that, okay, you know, there was a mistake or whatever happened, but look, they're taking responsibility. They're engaged. They're making it right. That's what matters.
Which is a great segue, actually. And you nailed it right on the head. A company's, how can I say this? It's not necessarily if a company is perfect. I think that great customer service resides in a company's ability to engage, assess, and respond to a negative situation.
Yeah.
That's the only way I could say it. So, yeah, absolutely. Bring them on. The comments are necessary, because it shows everybody else that, hey, listen, we do make mistakes. We drop the ball. But this is what we're going to do to fix
it. Right. We're making it right.
That's credibility.
True. Yeah. So, of course.
Yeah.
What about video, dude? Are you guys using video to communicate with your customers? Because for me, video is, and when, you know, I use video with my clients all the time, or my prospects. Like, I'm always, you know, doing videos, sending them videos. To me, it's like the quickest way to break the ice, right? Because the customer gets to see you. They get to, even if you don't see the customer itself, but they get to see you. They get to see you talking. They can put a name with the face. Yeah. When they go to the dealership, there's that connection, because they recognize you. I mean, do you guys do that? And if you do, are you seeing success with it?
Currently, right now, we're not doing video. It's something I'm definitely getting into 2020. But let me ask you, actually, like, what tools are out there? Like, are people using their cell phones still, right? So I think that we
I wouldn't do that, dude. Like I think that we've taken that stake. Whoever said, hey, you know, you want it to be real, and we've really downplayed that. Like, you want it to be real, but you don't want to send people garbage, dude. I mean,
but this is the thing. This is exactly it, and you nailed it on the head. So I do believe in video. I do believe in trying out everything, AI, videos and stuff. But you know what? At the end of the day, and this is what I tell all of my vendors, because being the largest dealership, the largest volume dealership in Canada, I get maybe about 5 to 8 vendor calls weekly. Weekly.
I'm sure,
So what happens? You get into this groove. So, you know, and I want to entertain all of them, right? I have a lot of respect for someone that does a cold call, especially in this day and age. I will absolutely entertain your conversation. However, I have a responsibility towards the dealership. I also have an equal responsibility towards the customer. And if I'm the decision maker and I'm going to implement a product, a piece of technology, anything at all, we also have a responsibility towards the most important person, our employees.
Yeah.
Right? So it needs to be something that I can control, and it needs to be something professional and not like somebody's cell phone or what have you. So if it's not a video that can integrate in my CRM somehow, or if it's not something that I can control, I don't want it.
Yeah. So I, you know, shameless plug here. I have no affiliation with this company at all. So if they listen to this or whatever, I'm not getting paid for any of this, what I'm about to say, but CoVideo, man, I love them because they,
CoVideo.
Yeah, man, it's professional. But what I like about them the most is they allow you to brand your video, right? So you can put your logos on it. It looks it looks very professional. But the most powerful thing, it's got links on the side, and you can attach those links to whatever. So you could put your inventory there. You could put your scheduler for your service department. You know, I've seen stuff where that dealers use it, put like photos of their staff on some sort of a rotation or something like that. So, yeah, dude. I mean,
so then CoVideo hit me up.
Yeah, right there you go. CoVideo
hit me up. Yeah, that's Sean Armour.
But dude, I feel like that's something, and I don't see a lot of dealerships doing it. I have to admit, and a lot of the ones that have done it, They kind of stop doing it because, you know, you can be progressive at the top, but then if you don't hire progressive people, then it's all for naught. And I think that that's where a lot of the miss is. Like you have these GMs that are, let's do the video, I'm in. And then nobody wants to do it because they're afraid to get on camera and stuff.
And you know what, Herbert, this is the most important thing. And I agree with you. I am of the train of thought that if you're going to do something, do it. You can't just start something because it's a trend or it's a cool idea or it seemed good at the time and then just stop, right? So how do we say that? You have to what did I hear recently? Forget it. But anyway, if you're going to do something, if you're going to commit to something, you have to jump in. You know, you have to be the antagonist. You have to be the main character. If you're going to do something, commit to it and do it. But not recklessly. Plan it, action it, execute.
Yeah.
Incremental growth is what you're looking for as a dealer. Whether it's BDC, whether it's anything else, incremental growth. Slow is fast.
Yes, totally agree with that.
Slow is fast. And I guess because I'm looking at the time now, but BDC, at the end of the day, is another business unit. And you can't stop it. It's happening. Whether they like it or not, it's happening. So you have your sales department, you have a marketing department, you have your accounting department, service department, well, the BDC department.
Yeah.
You know, it's no longer just two people sitting in a corner with like Excel spreadsheets cold calling people. It's a legitimate department.
I totally agree. Yes, sir. Dude, this has been amazing. Such a great conversation. So awesome to have you on the show. I
really appreciate your time.
Yeah, man. I want to give you a couple of minutes to tell us about how we can connect with you, whatever you want to share with us. And then obviously, if you're cool with it, we're going to put all that information in the show notes so that folks can reach out.
Yeah, for sure. Right now, the best way to reach out to me is on my LinkedIn page. Sean Armour, I guess you'll put my last name. You got my email there too, or you could just DM me. I'm going to be blown up next year though. A lot of crazy news coming. But for the current moment, just through LinkedIn, I mean, I've met a ton of people over the last 2-3 months. It's just been crazy talking to people in Poland. As far as Poland.
Oh, wow. That's awesome, man.
I was talking to a couple of BDC managers out there, a couple of people. Well, now Las Vegas. I could add that to my list.
Right on.
But yeah, just through my LinkedIn, and my email is there. I got my phone number there, so just you could go through there for now.
Cool. Folks, it's going to be in the show notes too. So if you have any questions for Sean, make sure to go there. Hit him up.
My absolute pleasure. I'm just basically here to – I want to inspire and I want to help. You know what I mean? I just want to be of service to people, and it's time to evolve this beautiful industry that has put food on my table and has given me, you know, I've grown as a person and I've grown as a professional. I love the car industry. I just hate the negative stigma attached to it. And it's up to us now to take the reins from the people that built it and to make it new, you know?
Yes, I totally agree, man. Let's do that. I'm down for that. All right, so as you know, there's one question I ask everybody that comes on the show. And that question is, where do you see the automotive industry headed in the next 5 years and why?
Yeah. In the next 5 years, where do I see the automotive industry headed? I think it's going to go through – the next 2 years is going to be very turbulent for the simple fact that we're just now finding our footing. We're just evolving. Like the whole BDC digital marketing even is not even what it was 2 years ago. So I think we're, if I can use this term right now, scurrying underfoot. But we'll find it. It's not going anywhere. Cars will always be. Transportation will always be. But I can't go past 2 years. Right. Scary enough, I can't go past 2 years because I think what Tesla's doing, what the electric car is doing, it's just gonna, there's gonna be a massive shift. What's gonna happen with the service departments? I mean, there's no more oil. There's no more. There's no more radiators. There's no more things. So I'm not really sure. It's gonna be exciting though. It's definitely gonna be exciting.
Yeah, dude. I can't. I'm stoked. I can't be. Mm-hmm. How'd I say it? Like, I'm just grateful to be a part of this industry at this particular moment in time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean? We're part of it. Yeah, we're part of it. Yeah.
So it's gonna be awesome for sure. Mm-hmm. All right, dude. Hey, listen, man. Thanks again for coming on. I really appreciate it. It was a really great conversation. I've enjoyed it. So thank you. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it.
One more time, I want to, anybody listening, please connect with Sean. Awesome dude. Lots of information. Lots of, you know, as you guys heard, lots of years in the industry. He's done it all. So, you know, remember, the quickest way to evolve and to grow is to connect with people that have done what you want to do and learn from them.
Absolutely.
So make sure to reach out. That's all the time we have for today. Please, 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 if you like this podcast, if you like this episode, make sure to share it so that people can take this information back to the dealership and implement in their day-to-day. Thank you so much for tuning in. That's all the time we have. And as usual, we'll talk later.